Welcome to We Love Books. This is a bonus episode as We Love Books headed to the En Poste Book Awards with our reporter, Francesca Europa, to meet some of Ireland's best loved children's authors. Dave Rudden, Clive Devlin, Sarah Bowie, and Paddy Donnelly shared the stories behind their books and the ideas that inspire young readers.
I'm Francesca Europa and I'm the reporter for the En Poste Book Awards, We Love Books. We're in the convention centre and there's a massive green carpet. It covers like half the floor and there's so many people, it's so packed and everyone's in their fanciest clothes. There's people in sparkly, shimmery clothes, the highest heels I've ever seen, and the makeup is absolutely amazing. It's packed and it's going to be a good night. It's a little bit like the Oscars, but for books.
First up, Dave Rudden talks monsters, mischief and why rule breakers often make the best heroes.
So Dave, tell us about the new book, Con of the Dead.
So Con of the Dead is the story of 11-year-old serial miscreant Con, who is just kind of perpendicular to what everyone wants him to be. He's too much energy, he's too fidgety, he's a lot like me right now. And then he is brought to UCD in the National Folklore Collection, where there's a skull marked Do Not Touch. And of course, what are you going to do? You're going to touch the skull. And he accidentally unleashes an ancient Celtic necromancer and then has to defeat it.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
A lot happens.
That sounds amazing. Definitely on my list of books I need to read.
Thank you. I hope you like it.
That's near the top.
Oh, good. Near the top. That's all I can want.
And what inspired you to start writing about brave kids and magical tales?
So I travel to a lot of schools and libraries around Ireland. I used to be a teacher and they are the best audience in the world. Like, kids are so ferocious. Like, you deal with adults and adults are very polite and kids are absolute rule breakers. And that's the best thing. That's what you need to be a hero, is to like break the rules that have gone before. And Con in particular, much like me, has ADHD. And so it's impossible for him to sit still. But actually, in certain circumstances, that thinking differently can be a superpower. So I wanted to put that in a book.
That's a great concept for a book.
Thank you.
If you could have any magical creature as a pet, which one would you choose and why?
I would want like a dragon, but like a little pocket dog dragon that could like carry around like this size. You could poke out of my backpack and like, you know, shoot fire at people.
Shoot fire to your enemies.
Yeah, my enemies. Yes, absolutely.
You're nominated for an award, of course, today. If you could win any award in the universe or even beyond the universe, what award would you like to win?
Oh my God, now I'm thinking of awards beyond the universe. Honestly, like getting like any award and any recognition is really lovely, but I think any award that is like bestowed or voted on by kids is the most important, because that's who I work for. So like any award where it's the kids' choice matters so much. Like when kids come up to me at the end of gigs and they say, I'm a bit like Con, or the book really meant something, that's my favourite award.
Yeah, because kids are very hard, because I'm around kids every day.
Yeah.
And they're all very different. And there's definitely people in my class, I think, that would like that book.
Okay.
Some girls in my class really like scary, funny stories.
A little peril. Peril,
yeah,
is good.
Because we very rarely get Irish books or stories with like Irish characters in it. It's usually just we're reading Wonder and stuff. But it's a good book still.
Yeah.
And if you could feature as any character of any of your books, which book would you choose and who would you be?
So I used to write Doctor Who books for the BBC. And yeah, thank you. And as a huge nerd, that was like really lovely. And the chance to be the Doctor and travel around the universe in all of space and time, I would love to be the Doctor.
That's amazing. I haven't watched Doctor Who, but it's, you know, when you have something you need to watch and you just can never get around to it and you're like, I need to watch this.
Yeah, you've got time to watch. Life is long. Yeah. I keep a list.
I definitely need to watch it. And you've had incredible success in your career so far. What's the biggest dream you can think of that you'd like to achieve?
Oh God, that's a big question. As a huge nerd, I'd love to write X-Men comics. I would love to, I'm thinking at the minute of turning Con potentially into like a musical or like a show, because
wow.
I just think it would be really cool to bring it to kids and actually give the words said by Con to an actual kid to say. So anything that can involve more people and bring the show to more people would be lovely.
And there's definitely lots of theatre kids and musical kids that...
Are you a theatre musical kid?
I am a theatre musical kid.
I am also a strong theatre. Not musicals, I sound like a hairdryer full of rocks, but like I'm a theatre kid, as you can probably tell.
And a little birdie told me that you lived in Egypt. Is that true?
You wouldn't know it from my pale, pasty skin, but yeah, I spent a year out there when I was 22. It was fun.
How is it like, have you met the pharaohs? You do the dances?
We did do a lot of like walk like an Egyptian on my like going away parachute. They don't find that as funny for obvious reasons.
No.
But it's spectacular. The pyramids are like much bigger than you think they are. They're actual mountains. They're astonishing. But the Sphinx is only like the size of a Dublin bus. It's really small. It's quite dinky.
I thought it was massive, like a spire.
No, it's really small, and there's a KFC beside it, which they don't show you with the pictures. It slightly ruins the effect, slightly.
It's lovely meeting you.
Yeah, lovely meeting you too.
Next, Saoimhe Devlin shares how Irish mythology and the Irish language shape her storytelling.
So tell us about your new book, An Fiacha Sa Scoil.
An Fiacha Sa Scoil is a book that is based, it's like a retelling of a very, very old story. So I don't know if you've ever heard of Fionn Mac Cooil, but Fionn Mac Cooil is one of the Irish, our great heroes in Irish mythology. So it's a Fionn Mac Cooil story, but I have a very special connection to this book because this book features a character called Saoimhe. And when I was younger, my name was kind of rare at the time. Lots of people are called Saoimhe nowadays, but back when I was small, nobody really was. So I always loved the story. So when I got offered a chance to retell this story, I was really excited.
That's great. I love Fionn Mac Cooil. We read it in school, in our history books. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Great story. And if you could magically transform into any animal, which animal would you choose and why?
So I've been thinking about this a lot because in the story, Saoimhe transforms into a deer. And I was like, would I like to be deer? And I was like, maybe a reindeer because I could get to help Santa. That might be fun. But actually, I was watching my cat. I have a little black cat. And when I think about being an animal, I'm like, do you know what? She just has the best life. Every morning at like 5 a.m., she could just climb onto my bed. She like walks up my entire body, stands on me and just meows in my face. And I would have every right in the world to be cross at 5 a.m. But she's so cute. I just go, oh, good morning. And then I like bring her down and let her have her breakfast or let her out into the garden or whatever she wants to do. And then she has a great time climbing trees and having loads of fun. And then when she comes in, she just finds somebody's bed and like sprawls on the bed for the rest of the afternoon. I was like, I would kind of love that. I would like to be able to do all of those things and nobody would be cross with me ever because I'm so cute.
Well, I love cats. I'm wearing a cat ring.
Oh, you are. I love it.
Cats are my favourite animal in the world.
I think they're mine too.
And why is it so important to write books in Irish?
Well, it's such an important part of our heritage and our culture. And I think when I was younger, so I went to a Gaeilge school and that's how I learned Gaeilge. I didn't grow up in the Gaeltacht and my parents didn't speak it to me at home. But I loved reading. So like you, I absolutely loved books when I was younger and I read all the time and I had loads of books in English. So I'd read and read and read in English. And then I didn't have that many books in Irish. And the ones I did have, I wasn't kind of crazy about. And I was like, I would love if there were more Irish language books that were really fun or full of adventure, just like the ones I had in English. So I decided that when I grew up, I would try to write some books as Gaeilge that were just as fun and interesting as books in English. So that's what I try to do now.
Yeah. And your book is the first Irish book to be in the Book Awards. How do you feel about that?
It is such an honour. We're just myself and Anastasia, the amazing illustrator. We are so thrilled. We couldn't believe it because there's never been one before. So we never even thought there was a chance. And then we got the call and we were just absolutely flabbergasted. And we're just so thrilled. And yeah, we're just so glad that an Irish language book gets that recognition and that people see, oh, actually, those books exist. And maybe we'll give it a try.
It's amazing. I don't even know how you can write a book in Irish. I'm at school and I'm looking at my Irish book and I'm going, how do I say this? How do I spell it? And then there's other girls that are just fluent in Irish.
Yeah. Well, I think it depends. Like, cause I was lucky, so I went to a girls' school, so that's how I learned. So just the way you would have learned English, by listening to all the people around you speaking it, and that's how I learned it, by going to school where everybody all around me was speaking Irish all the time. So you kind of have to learn it because then you can't communicate with people if you don't learn it. So it's just like learning any language, I think. The more it's around you, the more you learn. So maybe when you're a bit older, you can go to the Gaeltacht or something and it might... You know, you might go on a holiday to the Gaeltacht and learn some more.
My best friend Shifra actually goes to an Irish school and she's fluent in Irish. Uh-huh. Yeah, I think it's so cool. I'm always asking her, can you please help me?
Yeah, please help me. And she might. She can keep talking to you. And yeah, maybe in the future you can write books together.
Yeah, that would be amazing. What are you proudest most of in your writing career?
Oh, this is pretty much up there. Definitely, for sure. The thing is with writing books, like the first thing is you want to write one and you want to get that published. And then you're so excited when that finally happens because it can take a number of years and lots of rejections before that happens. So you get really proud about that. But then it's like the goalpost starts moving and you're like, but I want to write another one. How do I do that? So I think I'm proudest that I'm still going. So since I started, I haven't looked back. I'm still publishing and still new things coming out every year. So that's what I try to do.
Yeah, and your book sounds amazing.
Thank you so much.
What's the most exciting part of being here at the On Post Book Awards tonight?
Well, do you know what is really fun is that usually when you're a writer, you can kind of be a bit of a slob. You can kind of just wear really comfy clothes and sit at your desk and kind of nobody really sees you and you just have cups of tea and biscuits. What's really, really fun is getting dressed up. And I got to get my hair done, I got my makeup done, I got to get a new dress. And I've really enjoyed that because that doesn't happen very often.
Well, I'm not a writer, but I'll say I'm in my pyjamas a lot at home, drinking tea and having biscuits.
Exactly. And now you're beautifully dressed up and you get to do that too. Do you enjoy that too?
Yeah. You're nominated for a big award here tonight, the Children's Book of the Year. But if you could win any award ever, which award would you most like to win?
Oh, I don't know. This one. I'd like to win this one very much. Sometime I'd like to maybe write a film script or something and win an Oscar for that. That'd be fun.
Yeah, a fully Irish film script.
Maybe, who knows? Yeah, we've had a couple that were shortlisted and longlisted and things, Osquelga, so yeah. maybe someday.
Yeah, and did you find it hard to write a book in Irish?
Not particularly. Like, it's kind of, for me, I have both languages and I kind of change between the two all the time. But I think I'd definitely use the dictionary a bit more often when I'm writing Osquelga.
Yeah. That's amazing. I wish you luck and what's for you won't pass you.
I love it. Thanks, Francesca.
No stranger to We Love Books, Sarah Bowie chats all things Nina Peanut, a graphic novel character full of creativity, confidence and chaos.
We're so excited to be going on tour with Nina Peanut. Can you tell us a little bit about her foreign adventures?
So Nina really wants to go on a very luxurious summer holiday like this famous influencer that she's seen online, and they get a ticket to go to the Golden Banana, which sounds like a very luxurious resort. However, when Nina gets there, it's not quite as luxurious as she had dreamed it would be. And worst of all, her frenemy, her mortal enemy, Megan Dunn, is staying at the same resort.
Oh no. And I read she's not getting her tan in the Maldives.
Yes, Megan had told everybody in school that she was going to the very fancy Maldives. Turns out that was a little bit of a white lie because she's also at the not very luxurious Golden Banana Resort.
She has some blackmail opportunities now. If she's rude to her, she can just say, you weren't at the Maldives.
Oh, I like the way you think. Yeah, she certainly could.
How exciting is it to be nominated for such a big award here tonight?
It is so exciting. I'm absolutely thrilled and delighted to have comics represented in the Book Awards.
That's amazing. Is Nina Peanut a comic?
That is a great question. So Nina Peanut, you can use the fancy sort of phrase and say it's a graphic novel, but all a graphic novel is a long comic. And I love that comics are being recognised now because comics are a really great way to tell stories and a way for lots of different readers to get involved in the joy of reading books.
Yeah, I really like how the photos, they're kind of in frames, so you can, you know, when I read books without pictures, I imagine it, but I do like also seeing how it goes in the story and how the writer or the illustrator has drawn out the characters.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it. They're in frames, and comics can be great for people perhaps where English isn't their first language, or people who are nervous about reading whole pages just full of words. But also what I love about comics is they can do stuff that regular books can't do. They can do visual comedy. You can have lots of like gags involving funny stuff that you can show, but that would be really hard to do in just words.
Years ago, I read like Spider-Man comics. Like, they've just been in like the school library and stuff. I've just picked them up. I like how it's very, what's the word? Like, bam. Yeah. Onomatopoeia.
Absolutely, yeah. Great word it is. It's onomatopoeia, and also it's just very immediate.
Yeah.
You're seeing it, you're absorbing. It's almost like the in-between of watching a film or reading about something. You're seeing it there in front of you.
And it's great for young people who don't, like, if you don't like reading, but you do want to get into it, you can see. It's kind of just like a movie, but you don't hear anything here.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of a mix of both. You've got the words, you are getting a chance to read, but you've also got loads of pictures doing exciting, interesting things too.
Yeah, and why do kids love Nina Peanut so much?
Ooh, well, I hope they do love Nina Peanut. I think she's kind of a relatable character because she is not perfect. She makes a lot of mistakes. She can be a little bit full of herself. Sometimes she steps on her friend's toes accidentally because she thinks she's such a creative genius, and sometimes she wants to just do her ideas and doesn't listen to other people's ideas by times. But she's like all of us. She's great fun, and she can be a little bit of a pain sometimes.
Yeah, describes most of us, the majority of everyone. And can we ask what's next for Nina, or is she keeping it under wraps?
Oh, you can ask. So Nina, book four is underway at this moment. It's called Nina Peanut Major Drama Alert. It involves a school play plus a new boy who starts in Nina's class who's come all the way from Australia. And everybody's very interested to get to know this new boy. He brings quite a bit of drama to Nina's classroom.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. I like how you have lots of different parts in your books. It's very, you know how some books might have one topic and then they're stuck on that and you're kind of just like yawning while you're reading it. But you kind of switch topics so then you keep the reader focused.
Oh, that's great. Thank you for saying that. I hope so. Yeah, I try to have a few little things going on. One big theme, but also little adventures and little things going on as well. So yeah, there'll be lots of juicy stuff happening in this latest Nina Peanut edition.
Yeah. And if you could spend a day hanging out with Nina, what would you do together?
Oh, wow. That is a great question. Well, I know Nina would come up with some kind of creative genius idea that would take me all day to think of, and she'd come up with it in 5 minutes. I'm sure it would involve eating ice cream, going on some kind of adventure, and maybe finding a ghost stuck somewhere really awkward and having to rescue it.
Wow, that sounds like something I dream of, like in my dreams. I thought I'd probably do that if I could, honestly. And what's the biggest lesson you've learned since becoming a beloved kids author?
Oh, thank you. The biggest lesson is, well, it's just a great privilege. I dreamed someday that children would enjoy reading my books, and it just gives me so much joy when I get letters or emails or messages from parents and kids saying that they've enjoyed the book and it's brought them joy. That is truly my reward, and it makes me really, really happy.
And what made you want to start writing books?
Because I loved them so much. So when I was your age, what I loved doing was reading comics, reading books, and then trying to make my own comics and my own books. Didn't realise it could be a job. Took me years and years. I was fully grown up and working in an office when I began to realise, ooh, actually there are people who do this job. And then I started working really hard to get good at writing and to get better at drawing until eventually someone said, yeah, we'll give you a job. Here, make the book.
That's great. And so you've loved it since a young age.
Yes, I have. Yeah, something I would have dreamed of doing if I'd known it was a job, but I've always loved it.
Yeah, like in my school, we're always doing, for English, we're writing books, it's like short stories, 2 pages, and there's so many things, like, they're like, you have to have the right grammar, you have to have, I can't remember what they're called, the
punctuation.
Yeah, and then you get one wrong, they're like, no.
I know, and that's why I love comics, because, you know, you don't have to freak out about spelling and grammar, it's more about the story itself, and you can make comics that have no words, you can make comics that are just the pictures if that's how you prefer to tell stories, and that's why I love them, because I think more people get to tell their story that way.
That's great. Lovely to meet you, and best of luck at the awards.
Thank you, Francesca. It was a pleasure to meet you too.
And finally, Paddy Donnelly invites us into a world where animals run bookshops and imagination fills every page.
First of all, Paddy, can you tell us a little bit about what kids can look forward to in your Badger Books?
Certainly. So Badger Books is a book about books. So any kids who love books themselves and stories will love this book. It's a picture book, and it's set in a bookshop where it's run by a badger who's slightly grumpy. This is, of course, a work of fiction. People who work in bookshops are never grumpy, okay? So this badger is pretty grumpy, and this little fox called Rory comes in looking for a book that doesn't exist, and he keeps coming back and keeps asking for more and more details. He keeps bringing more and more details, and he wants this book, and then eventually the badger and Rory have to make it together, because that book doesn't exist yet. Like all books, you know, until someone actually sits down and writes them, they don't exist yet. Yeah, so that's what happens in Badger Books. And there's lots of animals and silly book puns, and lots of, I do the illustrations as well, so there's lots of little details in the illustrations to find too.
Sounds like a great book concept. I love animals, and I was reading a bit about it, and I'd love to go to that place if it was real.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I've drawn, so when you open the book, there's a map of the whole little town, and each street is named after a different creature. So there's Ant Alley and Seahorse Street and all of these sorts of places. So yeah, I tried to imagine a little town, and then hopefully there will be more books in this series based in little shops, yeah.
Yeah, that's very creative. That sounds very captivating. And why do you think a badger is good at running a bookshop?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, he has worked there for 59 years, 11 months and 9 days. So he's gotten pretty good at knowing exactly where all of the books are in the bookshop. And he kind of, you know, I've been told by different booksellers, as I go around visiting bookshops and signing my books and things, some people tell me, some people that work in the bookshops, they tell me, this badger kind of looks like someone I used to work with. So he has just something about him. He looks like he could work in a bookshop. Yeah, so I don't know. I just drew him one day. And then usually when I create a character, I try and draw them first, and then I try and get a story to fit them. So I kind of just drew him, and he looks like he's been working there a long time, and he's missing like an elbow patch, and he's got a kind of mismatched little suit, and he's got his hair is kind of sticking up. He's been in the bookshop way too long. But yeah, I don't know what, yeah, and it just, yeah, Badger Books just sounded like it would fit, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like he's very fitting. I can just imagine going to a bookshop and seeing the guy at the counter looking like that. I could walk to a bookshop and I'd imagine a badger would be there.
Of course.
If you could be any animal, what animal would you be and what job would you do?
Wow. If I could be any animal. Well, I'll tell you my favorite. I have lots of favorite animals, like foxes and badgers and things like that, lots of birds. Especially, I think the dodo is my favorite animal. I remember being a kid and reading a book about dodos and being fascinated with extinct animals. And the idea that I would never, I think before that I thought I'll one day see a dinosaur. And then at one day I realized, oh no, I'm never gonna see a real dinosaur or dodos and things like that, unless they bring them back to life. And so dodos kind of became one of my favorite little creatures. They're still my favorite creatures to draw. And usually I try and, because I do the illustrations too, I usually try and hide a dodo somewhere in each one of my books. Even, and it's quite hard to do, put an extinct animal in like every story. They're probably my favorite one, so I think I'll probably have to choose the dodo then, yeah.
Yeah, and I actually remember when I was reading a bit about your book, you did mention dinosaurs and dodos.
Yes, yeah, I mean, I have another book called Dodos Are Not Extinct, and it's about, because when you're an author, you get to make up all the rules, so I can decide anything that happens in my books. So I decided that all of the extinct animals that I really love and would love to see, they're not really extinct, they're just in disguise. So they come up with these genius disguises, like the saber-toothed tigers, to hide their big teeth, they just grow massive mustaches. And the dinosaurs and mammoths, they're all just hidden in plain sight. And so yeah, I usually try and make the books, you know, when I'm thinking of good story ideas, I try and make a book, I imagine myself as a six-year-old, and I try and make a book that I would have liked. So I try for little six-year-old Paddy, I try and make a book for him. And that usually tends to like turn into a good idea that kind of works.
Yeah, the book scent is very clever. It's a very great idea.
Oh, thank you.
And you've won heaps of awards for your beautiful books. If you could give an award to anyone in your life, who would you give it to and why?
An award to anyone in my life? Maybe my wife, because she is super supportive of all of the stuff I want to do in my career, and looking after our two boys whenever I'm going to the awards, and going on book tours and lots of stuff. So definitely for the most supportive person in my life would have to go to my wife, yeah.
That's very sweet. And a little birdie told me that you lived in Belgium. Is that true?
I do. I met this Belgian girl one time and then followed her back to Belgium, and I've been living there for 16 years, nearly 17 years. So a long time, a long while. But it is the land of chocolate and waffles, and they invented chips. Did you know that? Belgians invented chips. Yeah, they're called French fries, but that's not really true. They're Belgian fries. It's a pretty great place.
Is the chocolate better over there?
It's not in the same league, yeah. It's a million times better, yeah. And it comes out of the taps. It's an amazing place, yeah.
Comes out of the taps?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Oh, wow. Can we go to Belgium?
I live really close to a real-life chocolate factory, and you can go down and you see them working. It's like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and you see them making these amazing animals out of chocolate and huge Easter eggs and shoes and all sorts of stuff, yeah.
Wow, and do they have, like, can you go in and just look at them making it?
You can, yeah, they have big glass windows, and you can see, you can't go in, but you can, like, look at them and see them with their big white coats making all of the chocolate, yeah.
That's Sounds amazing, great. And do they have the... They're cool hats.
Yeah, those big like chef hats. Yeah. Yeah, they have those, and they have it really down there. It, like, they open a tap and all the chocolate comes out and it's all melted, and then they pour it into these big molds and stuff. It's really cool.
So cool. I'm sure all your people will be watching tonight, seeing as it's going to be on telly. But let's say it wasn't. Who would be the first person you would ring if you won?
Well, probably my family. Although tonight I brought my mum. So my mum will be there. I won't have to ring her. She'll be able to to experience it all tonight. So yeah, fingers crossed, yeah.
Fingers crossed. And are we allowed to get a sneaky glimpse into what you're working on next, or is it a top secret project?
It's top secret, but I can tell you. I have a bunch of new books out next year, but I have this one that I sometimes work with other authors and I do the illustrations, but my next one that I'll have written and illustrated myself, it will be out in March, and it's called The Upside Down Lighthouse. And it's about this little girl and her granddad, and they discover this island that has an upside down lighthouse. And on this island, everything is strange. The birds swim underwater and the fish fly through the air, and there's an upside down waterfall and all of these cool things. But it's actually based on a real place. So where I come from, I come from Ballycastle up north. And we have a little island off the coast of Ballycastle, and it's called Rathlin Island. And on this island, there's a lighthouse, and they built it upside down. So they built it into the cliff, and there's this big tower of the lighthouse, and then they put the light at the bottom of it. It's really surreal. You enter at the top or the bottom, and then you go down these spirally stairs down to the light at the bottom. Yeah, it's upside down. Yeah, it's really cool.
From fantasy and folklore to comics and picture books, these authors remind us why stories matter and why we love books. Special thanks to our wonderful reporter, Francesca Europa, produced by Niamh McManus and edited by the RTÉ Junior team.